Welcome back to another episode of the IC Pixels Podcast. This is David.
This is Anthony.
Thanks for joining us again in the new year, 2018. Why am I talking like this?
I don't know.
Come on down. So thanks everybody that stuck with us through all of 2017. Instead of doing a recap of 2017 or something lame like that, we have actually a different topic to talk about.
I would like to not relive to... Well, I mean, I guess everything was... It's not like everything was bad, but it was also... Ugh. In 2017, so...
Well, we can do a 2-minute recap. What's your fondest memory of 2017?
Getting a job. Actually, it wasn't getting the job. It was the
first paycheck.
Subsequent weeks when I got a check.
For me, I don't know. I guess related to the like design stuff, I'd say one of my fonder memories was. Do I have one? I guess. It sounds selfish and self-centered and stuff like that, but just being recognized for some work I did. Because I did some work on a website for somebody. It wasn't hard or whatever, but people's socks were knocked off and they were very impressed. And it felt good when people actually appreciate the stuff you did. So
take their socks off for you.
Yeah, like start slipping them off. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Yeah, no, that's weird.
All right, wrap up summer.
And I moved. I guess that was a technically. Yeah, I did that in 2017. I was done by the first.
So you're recording from the new studio.
The new studio.
The crystal clear clarity.
Yeah. The echo is canceled out because of new technology in the studio called boxes I haven't unpacked.
It's because my house is mad small. Actually, I'm recording from a new location as well. I didn't move. Not all my stuff, but I just moved my microphone to upstairs. And so...
Moving on up.
To the east side.
I can't make those jokes. I've never watched that show.
I haven't either. But that's for... We'll start that for our episode in February where we talk about black history things or black stereotypes and how we don't live up to them. Like, I didn't see Color Purple until I was like 24, 25, and people...
I still haven't seen The Color Purple.
Oh, well. There's a lot of jokes that people make. Well, I think...
R.I.P. Prince. Huh? Okay, go ahead.
Well, I haven't seen Purple Rain either. Or whatever that Prince movie was.
I've seen pieces of it. I haven't seen the whole thing. I mean, I haven't sat down to listen to one of his full albums. They played it a lot on the radio when he died. And I was like, oh. I mean, I knew it was good, but, you know.
I've never listened to... any part of any Prince album intentionally. If I've heard it, it was because it was on the radio or in a store. Other than that, I've never heard any of his music.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good.
Yeah, I believe
you can tell that. I mean, I just, yeah, it just was not my...
I was a kid when that was out. And, okay. I'm not running back to listen to it now.
It ain't Take Six, though. Sorry. Nothing.
So
anyway,
that's tangent number three for this episode. So what we wanted to talk about this week was something I just made up a name for called design blindness. So it's kind of similar.
Go ahead.
So
the blindness,
design blindness, the blindness.
Well, I was trying to make it a thing, but
no, we haven't even defined it yet. So,
okay.
So I thought of it because I think of it as similar to like ad blindness. So nowadays, a lot of people have become blind to advertisements on the web because they're so used to ignoring them. They're kind of accustomed to where they're going to be, what they're going to look like, and so they know to ignore them. I use a Yahoo email because I'm still stuck in the early 2000s or something. But
I'm sorry.
I have a Yahoo email address, and on the side there's ads, and I just always ignore them. I never look at them because I know there's ads over there. That's the same way a lot of people act towards ads on the internet, and that's why you'll see on some sites the ads are designed in a way that they try and look like real content so that they can get people to click on them. Because I was on Jalopnik website. It's a website about cars and stuff like that. But anyway, they have ads in there, but they're mixed in with the content, and they look so similar to the other content that until you start reading the title, then it's like, wait a minute, this is not this is not a blog post I want to read. This is not an article. This is like, you know, 7 ways you can save now. Guess what he did next? And it's like those clickbait titles.
You won't believe how he saved next. Yeah.
You won't believe how I just saved 10% on my mortgage payments. Or like, check out this fast way to reduce varicose veins or something. I don't know why I would see that ad. But anyway. So.
What are you Googling on it?
I'll be in the Google streets, you know. I just switch it up sometimes so they don't know whether I'm black or white. Like, varicose
veins. I know you're getting old, but you shouldn't have to worry about varicose veins yet.
But, yeah, that was all about ad blindness. Design blindness. So, as a designer, I would think that, like, I should be able to see through some design tricks that get played on this, like, on a daily basis. But I've noticed, at least personally, a lot of times I fall for design the same way, or I assume the same way a regular person would fall for design. So I guess an example would be like, you know, you may see an advertisement for a hamburger or something, and they're using like some sexy woman in the ad to get your attention and get you to pay attention or whatever. So as a designer, in the back of my head, I know exactly what they're doing. It's like, okay, well, the burger's not that good, so they're getting you to look by using this woman who's maybe, you know, like doing something, you know, provocative or whatever to get you to look at it.
Being objectified by the male gaze. Yeah. Or
no, I feel like she's objectifying me by assuming that I'm going to be interested in the burger just because she's holding it.
Yeah.
But that might be just because I have a brittle spirit.
But she doesn't have those varicose veins, so you're not into her.
I have a brutal spirit, so I was like, oh, burger, I gotta eat it. But anyway, so as a designer, in some cases I would say that I'm able to see through the stuff, the design, to see to the core of what's going on. But I'll say a lot of times I don't have that design blindness that I guess some people would think you would have as a designer. Like, you do this all day, so you should know exactly what's going on. But
yeah, I think I fall for it most when it comes to like health food, because or food that is trying to appear healthy. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's just like, well, it's green and brown and stuff, and they use like something similar to, you know, what is that font? papyrus, something similar to papyrus. It's like I know what they're doing, and they slap like organic on it, or like, you know, just earthy colors and stuff like that. I know what they're doing, but it still makes me feel more okay with it, even though I'm aware that, you know, I could just read the back and figure out what's really going on. But I mean, because sometimes with those things, I know what they're doing, but if they do it well, I'm kind of okay with it. I'm like, oh, I see what you did there. I'm going to buy in because you did a good job, you know, of selling it. But I see what you did there.
I think it kind of goes along with, like we've talked about it in the past, like design cliches and stuff like that. Because I think if you blatantly use a design cliche, like we talked about, like using women or even skinny clad men to sell stuff like Abercrombie used to do, then...
Or Bob men spray.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Bob men spray.
Or like like if you think about like Victoria's Secret, the catalog, it's obviously aimed at a specific, you know, they're using a specific ploy to get you to look at it from a design perspective. There's not really much design to it, it's just women.
At least two of them. Oh, sorry.
So I think when it's done in an obvious manner, I can ignore it on some level. It's easier for me to ignore it. Or like, you know, like when someone's obviously trying to target an urban
and a black
audience, I can see it and I'm like, all right, I see what you're trying to do there. It's trash. I'm going to ignore it. Or I can look past the design and I'm not immediately like, oh, I have to read this because it says it's for us.
It's like, I mean... It's like one of those things, yeah, because it's you can tell that most people can tell the difference between, well, not most, I don't know if it's most people, but you can tell the difference between somebody pandering versus somebody that's really just trying to reach out and connect with you, you know? I saw like a comedian, it's one of those white comedians that black people like, I forgot his name. But he was talking about that, like why black people like him. It was like, he was like, I'm not trying to pander to them. I'm just, you know, I'm asking questions and I'm, you know, trying to understand better. And that's why people, you know, allow him to the barbecue and stuff like that. I forgot what his name is though. So, but, is it Gary Owen? It's, I think it is, but yeah. But it's the same thing with other things. I mean, people can tell, you know, like we said with you know, black people, and, you know, you're watching a show and it's like, oh, there's the black, you know, there's the token character that's supposed to, you know, I'm supposed to relate to. There's the black Power Ranger, you know.
Yeah.
That, that you're supposed to relate to. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's the same thing.
Yeah, and I'll say, so where it's kind of hard, where I get tricked a lot of times, well, health food definitely tricks me. Food advertisement in general kind of can trick you pretty easily, especially if I'm hungry. I'm going to get tricked and I won't notice the, like when you take a look at food advertisements and promotions, it becomes more obvious what they're trying to do and how they're using design to promote it. But it, I feel like in the moment, I just get caught up and I don't notice the design element. It's when, like, so last week I was designing some labels for some vegetarian meat products or something like that. And
veggie meat,
basically. So if I was shopping, I wouldn't notice the design that, or I wouldn't notice how the design was affecting my decision as much. But when I was actually designing it, then I had to think, okay, like what colors are going to kind of make people interested in this food and think about it as healthy and gluten-free and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's the only time I really think about it, because when I'm walking through the grocery store, it's like, ooh, that box is red and yellow, and red and yellow make you hungry, and I'm probably going to pick that one up. Or that box is green, it must be healthy, or whatever like that.
You never buy a red and yellow box for what you eat. But
no, there's a lot of things in red and yellow. Like, most pizzas are in red and yellow boxes, like in the frozen ones.
Well, yeah, like DiGiorno or something like that. But
yeah, a lot of them are in.
Well, I was just thinking, like, when it comes to, like, healthy stuff, it's usually going to be in some other.
Well, so an example I can think of is, like, Boca Burgers. Boca Burgers are in, they have red and I don't know if it's yellow. It might be orange. I haven't looked at their box recently. But when you start to look at it, you'll see, like, a lot of this stuff uses similar color palettes, like greens, reds, browns. Those are all. Well, red, yellow, brown are colors that promote, kind of make you hungry.
Yeah. Well, I know it's like that with fast food restaurants or restaurants in general, especially fast food. That, yeah, they're going to be red and yellow. Red and yellow, red and yellow.
It was black and yellow. So the other thing I noticed this in is like, and it's funny because you don't even realize it, like the design of restaurants. So this is more like interior design, but in restaurants, a lot of times, like fast food restaurants, they're going to tend to have brighter colors to make you hungry, but they're going to have hard seats because they don't really want you to stay there long. They want you to buy and leave. And then like those more expensive sit-down restaurants, they're going to have low lighting, more like muted, more richer colors, like browns, burgundies, purples, stuff like that. And they're going to have softer seats because they need you to stay there and eat a lot of food and leave a tip and stuff like that. And it wasn't until I read about it, make and then water. I was like, ah, I never even noticed this. But I think it's one of those things, like, I don't know. As a designer, I just didn't even notice it. And I feel like I should have.
Well, that's why it's I think it's weird for McDonald's how they're trying to be more healthy and trying to, like, oh, free Wi-Fi. Like, hey, stick around. But it's like nobody wants to stick around, really. You know, it's like they're trying to get that crowd that's going to Starbucks and everywhere else, but it's like it'll never feel the same. I mean, you're more, I don't know. I was in Panera the other day and someone was in there with a whole printer, like printing things out. It's like, really?
That's strange.
Yeah, it's like, wow. All right. I mean, I guess. But
so, as a designer, do you think design blindness is bad? Or good.
I don't know. I don't know if there's a way to say it's good or bad. I mean, if you're a designer, I think you're going to notice it. If you're a good designer, you're going to notice it. You're going to notice other good design. I would say, I don't know. It may be a good thing sometimes, because there are times when I'm walking around and it's like, I wish I could just eat at this restaurant, but I really don't like their font. I mean, there's things that bother me. I can't just sit there and not be bothered by something, you know, the design of something.
I think it's
a little bit different,
because I have to think about it as to why I like certain things or why I like certain places or certain cars or whatever.
Yeah.
But subconsciously, I know, like, it's happening subconsciously, I feel like, all the time. But I don't always, I'm not focused in, like, on presently thinking, like, oh, do I like the design of this? No, do I like the design of that? I feel like there's other things that influence my decision as well.
I mean, it's kind of like a salesman or something like that. I mean, if they're just pushy and annoying and it's obvious they're trying to sell something, then yeah, it's easier for me to shut it down. But it's like, if you know, I feel like you actually care a little bit and you took the time to walk me through it, then I'm more intrigued to buy, you know, whatever you're trying to sell to me. I think it's the same thing with design. And, you know, I'm more, even if I'm aware of it, I'm more likely to go along with it if I feel like you tried to meet, you know, to do something visually appealing that I appreciate, and you gave me the information, I could find what I was looking for easily. You know, you did a good job, and then I'm more likely to go, okay, thank you. even if you are more expensive or, you know, something else, I may be more likely to go along with it because of that.
Yeah, I think a lot of that happens for me too, but it's all subconsciously, or 90% of it. Of course, I do think about, like, price and stuff like that, but I'm not always thinking about how the design affects my decisions. And I think that's an interesting thing to try to think about, at least, especially as a designer, because then it can help guide you when you're designing things for other people. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, when I was designing those packaging for veggie meat, I've never really thought about what the packaging of that stuff looks like. And so...
Meat.
And so when
general?
I started Googling and I started noticing similarities and colors and different things they use to kind of, you know, promote what they're trying to do. So I thought it was really interesting.
Especially, well, for veggie meat, I think they can get away with not being red and yellow. Personally, I believe that. Because vegetables aren't, well, some vegetables are red and yellow, but I think, like, I bought some burgers. They're called Field Burgers. I made one tonight. It was good. But their packaging is, like, tan with, like, some brown lettering on it. But I think that's what you expect on that, in that section of the, you know, that section of Kroger is going to have that kind of stuff.
That earthy color.
Yeah. It's not going to, you know, so if something over there was bright color, you know, I think it would kind of throw me off.
Well, even the ones that use, like, the reds and the yellows, they don't use, like, bright fire engine red. They use, like, a subdued red or, a light orange type of color, because they want to blend. Well, on one hand, you want to blend in with your surroundings, and then the other hand, you want to stand out a little bit. But you don't want to be like, woo, I'm unhealthy, when everything else is all healthy looking.
That made me think about something, and maybe this is another episode, but... Which section of the store has the best design? Because I was just thinking about all the health stuff, and, like, they usually have really good design.
Yeah.
Even if it's minimal, they usually have good design.
We can talk about this. Maybe this is another episode. But I think health food is trying to win you over on two fronts. Because a lot of times, health food is going to be more expensive. That's just the way it is. Just like you think about a Mercedes, it's way more expensive. But if a Mercedes looked the same as, like, a Honda, you wouldn't be willing to pay that money. But they spent a lot of money getting that design right and that distinctive look and feel. So when you are in a Mercedes, people know you're in a Mercedes. Same thing, well, not the same thing with the food, but with food, they have to put money into the design of their containers and packaging, because they've got to convince you to pay that premium over the cost of just getting some beef or whatever. Because, like, if you look at the packaging on regular, like, meat, it's just a label. It's not even packaging for real. Like, there's no design on it. Because it's like, you know what, you already know what this is.
Yeah, because you're look, you don't care what brand it is for the most part. You're just like, you know. Well, because a lot of times if you're buying meat, well, not all the time, but unless it's frozen or something like that, it's from that store. It doesn't matter. You want to see what the meat looks like.
Yeah, but you've seen like Tyson's chicken and stuff like that? The design is nothing amazing.
Yeah. Well, I think I mean, because you know what you're getting once you get in that aisle and you just look. You know, I mean, yeah, that's more so the brand, but I mean, like the
fresh meat. Fresh meat, there is no brand. You know. But still, there's not much fanfare around that in terms of design. Because it's like, who cares? I know what I'm getting. Dead cow.
Yeah. I mean, but even in that section, they do have the earthy.
The free range. Yeah. And it's like, okay, we've got to justify why you're paying extra for dead cow.
Free range, college educated,
low carb, gluten free, BPA free,
GED. Yeah, but I don't know, that's interesting. I mean, a real question, I mean, like when you're talking about the Mercedes, the question is, if you wasn't rapping, would you still be riding?
I thought you were asking a real question.
Sorry. I've kind of missed my window for that question early, and I just felt like I needed to bring it back.
I have been rapping, and I've been riding Mercedes for years.
Okay. All
right. Well. Used Mercedes. But I actually had something relevant to say, and I forgot what it was, because you felt the need to bring up Pimp C.
You're welcome. R.I.P. Yeah.
So, I think... I don't know. I guess it's hard to think about it how or remember what it was like before I was into design or before I cared about design because I don't remember when that was. But I feel like the way designs affect me and change my decisions and stuff like that or guide me in terms of my choices is not that far different from someone who is not a designer. Do you think there's a difference for you?
I don't know. I think I may care about it more. Maybe I care more about it more than you because it's something I think about all the time.
Well, I guess I was thinking in terms of like, let's say, for instance, a prime example I can think of is like Apple versus a PC. Apple definitely has a better looking design in terms of the physical device. PCs have stepped their game up.
Yeah.
But if I'm a designer and I just need a good device to do my work on at the best price point, what's best? A PC is definitely better. It's not going to cost me a rack.
Yeah, it's gonna work.
I know what I'm doing. It's not
all
stupidly simple, and I know I can use it. No hate, like, don't get mad, all the Apple fanboys. So ignoring design, I would get a PC every time, but I have a Mac.
there's also spite. And I'm fine with that. Like, for instance, there are maybe one or two Jordans that I think look pretty good, but I never buy them. And that's partially out of spite. I mean, I don't know who specifically I'm trying to stick it to or like, I'll show them or whatever, but I just, you know, I mean, also I just like, you know, I'm not getting Jordans at this point. It just seems too black. You know, I don't know. But, it feels too urban for me to do that, but I don't know. It's just like what's I'm not getting Jordans at this point. There's plenty of other shoes I can get, or I have a friend that don't insist on Nikes all the time, and like I rarely buy Nikes specifically to spite him. And I, you know, I'll put that over design.
Okay, so that's a personal problem you have with you and your friend.
Well, I'll give you a real example. Or another. I mean, those are real. Not that those aren't real. Those are real examples.
When you were younger, did someone like kick you wearing a Nike or Jordans or what? Is there some pent up anger you need to deal with from your childhood? Okay.
Yes.
when I was younger, I didn't have any Nikes, and now I have 3 pairs of Jordans currently that I rarely wear. And it's not like, ooh, I'm going to get what I never had as a child, but I actually liked them. But that anyway, that's my life story.
I don't know. I'm not paying over $100. I'm just difficult. I mean, I haven't come across one that I was like, oh, this is perfect price. I'm getting these. You know, somebody was just like, oh, here's some for like $50. I'd be like, oh, okay. Well, I did buy some Jordans, actually. They weren't Jordans. They were like Jordan brand things, but I bought those as a flip on eBay. So,
yeah. So,
still, never wore them. Never lost. But no, okay, so a good example of, okay, so when I'm looking for a new book to read, I know that you shouldn't.
You shouldn't judge a book by its cover.
Common saying, don't judge a book by its cover. I absolutely judge a book by its cover. There's the only thing to judge it by. Well, no, you can read the description.
Yeah, but how do you decide which one to read?
But
the cover. Yeah, exactly.
By the cover, yeah. By the title and everything. Yeah, I mean, you got to start somewhere, and I absolutely look at that, and I'm like, man, why did they choose that? Like, this has nothing to do with the story, like, or like, what? That, or it's a picture of the character, and now it's ruined because I think that's what's in my head now, or like, I don't know. I absolutely judge it by the cover. And her books, I've circled back around. I mean, yeah, because it does catch your eye. It's like, oh, this is cool.
But do you think that is far different from how someone who's not in design or a designer would judge a book?
I don't think
it's that different because I think
I don't know.
So I think people that are not designers, again, we're just speaking for those people, just like we like to speak for women and other groups that can't speak for themselves. That's a joke.
White people.
I think that they like the way we think about, you know, design and stuff like that. We might be aware of the reasons for our choices, but I don't think our choices are that different than what someone who is not aware of why they're making the choice would make. So, like, you know, I might pick whatever book because I like the cover, and someone else may pick the book because they like the cover, but they may say, oh, well, I also like the title, or it just looked interesting, and they don't know the reason why. It might have been because the colors or the particular layout that was used in the cover appealed to them, but they don't realize, they don't have the vocabulary to talk about it the way I could, potentially.
Oh, so they're influenced by it. You're saying they're influenced by it. They just might not realize it as much as we are because we're influenced by it.
I'm drinking the Kool-Aid while I know what's in the Kool-Aid. I know exactly what this Kool-Aid is going to do to me, but I'm drinking it anyway. Whereas I feel like some, you know, people that may not know design, they're just drinking the Kool-Aid.
Oh, normies is what they call them.
Normies? I've never heard of
them. Sorry. Too much bodega. Anyway, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that answered the question. If it's a good or bad thing,
I'd say for me personally, I think it's a good thing. Well, okay, so design blindness. I think it can be useful at times because there are some times where you will be caught up in a good design and make a bad choice. Or caught up in, you know, there's obviously other elements in play, like, you know, the assumption around, like, the what your peers will think and all kinds of other things influence your decision. But if it's strictly based on design, there's definitely been times where, you know, I like the way something looks and it may not be the best thing I should choose or whatever. Or, you know, the colors and other things that were used in the design influenced me one way or another when I probably shouldn't have been. So knowing, at least being aware of what's happening, I think is very powerful because then you can make better choices or at least see through the design and look and, you know, analyze things for what they are. Like, okay, it looks pretty. It's attractive to me for whatever reason because they're using members of my aspirational group in the advertisement or whatever. But really, do I need that thing? No. Or am I that hungry? No. Or should I eat that? No. So.
Or should I double click that Instagram photo? Double click?
No. Use Instagram for your computer?
Nothing.
Double tap?
Ah, I messed that up.
Yeah, but so I think because there's been several times where like I'll be looking at something and I'm like, yeah, I really like that or whatever. And then later on, after I've spent some time around it, I'll look at it again with my designer eye and I'm like, wait a minute. That's not even that good looking. Like, I see why I liked it. But it's obvious now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I think I can look past things when it's not like, I think it bothers me more when I can tell they tried. If I know that they just designed something, it's like, you know, I can look past it. I'm okay with it. I don't let it bother me that much. But when it's when people try too hard, it's like, I know what you're trying to do. But
yeah, if I can see if it's blatant what strategies you're using to get me to look at something, I'm more likely to ignore it because I know how it was made. Yeah. So I've seen like billboards with like massive red arrows pointing to some word or something. It's like, all right, I see what you did there.
Yeah, it's like, all right, okay. Like, I mean, I guess there can be an argument made, like, is that effective for other people, or if for the masses, or is that just us that it bothers? I mean, because there are times, you know, in design where things need to be bad looking out of functionality, you know, because, you know, because it needs to work. Or this is a industry standard, right. So it needs to look bad, or, you know, or there's just things that you have to do that you would wish you didn't have to, so.
Yeah, but it's again, what works.
Yeah.
So, that reminds me, it's not directly related, but it reminds me of, like, you know, those African prints, Nigerian prints scheme things, where they send you emails saying, I'm a Nigerian prince, and I need you to send me some money so I can send you a bunch of money, or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah,
so, I was reading about that, and they were saying actually that when they send those emails out, they purposely make it so you can tell it's a scam on some level. Because those people that would have not fallen for the obvious scam, it wouldn't have worked all the way through. So what, I guess I'm probably explaining this the worst way ever, but like, If I know that I can't get you past like level 2 or level 3 of the scam, then I don't even start with you. So I might send an email out to massive amounts of people. Most people delete it, but the ones that open it are the ones that are dumb enough to actually fall for part of the scam so they can get money. So it's really a filtering mechanism to say, hey, how dumb are you? If you're dumb enough to open this email, then we have a chance. But if you just delete it, we don't even want to talk to you anyway because we will be wasting our time. And I think people use design in the same way. Like,
makes sense.
We're going to design this in a certain way that appeals to this certain group. And so anyone who it's not for will just blatantly ignore it. And as a designer, when I see stuff that's done like that, especially when I can tell who you were going after, then it's easy for me to say, okay, that's not for me. I'll ignore it. Or I can see like how it was done, and it's like, I see exactly what they're trying to do, and so I don't need to look at it or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody designs something, well, maybe some people specifically thinking about designers, but I guess some people do, but
you know, like, you know, all that stuff Adobe does, but yeah, hey, it's like, really, who else are you gonna buy from?
Yeah. I know, right? It's like, I don't like the design of, I don't like their new logo. No, that's like when Instagram changed their logo. I don't like it.
Yeah, but what are you going to do?
Yeah. Nobody quit.
Yeah, so I guess that's what we wanted to talk about this week. Any New Year's resolutions?
This year, I'm not doing it for the new year. I'm doing it month to month. So I need to write down January's resolutions. I haven't done that yet.
I resolved to write down my resolutions before the end of the month.
Yes, January I'm going to write down my resolutions. In February, I have some stuff in mind, but I haven't sat down and like really wrote them down. Obviously, I need to do that, but I don't know. Go to the gym. I mean, I was doing that anyway, so that's not a real resolution. I don't know. Well, I mean, there's one thing I definitely want to do, because I've been kind of slipping on it, is with like my artwork. I don't feel like when I started taking it more seriously a couple of years ago, there were clear advancements, and it just, since I moved over to just last week or whatever, I was moving a bunch of paintings and stuff like that and went through a bunch of old artwork. And you could see, like, obvious growth from, you know, like, from that time to, you know, later on and later on. And I mean, I know that may, that obvious, like, jumps of, you know, skill or just growth may reduce over time, naturally. But I would like to be able to see an obvious growth, you know, from year to year. And I don't feel like I saw that at the end of this year compared to the beginning of this last year, you know. So that's one thing I want to do, is make sure I commit to, you know, doing more of my own work and making, you know, obvious steps of, you know, getting better at it.
Sounds like a plan.
So
I'd say my one of my resolutions for this year is to try to work, trying to avoid just being a Photoshop operator for people just for money. Because I've done it in the past and I've tried to get away from it, but I want to get more to, I guess, what you call like a consulting model with clients. So I'm not just going to do whatever you ask me to do. I'm going to give you, try to give you some advice and some guidance in terms of what's going to work best to help you out, instead of just, yeah, you want it pink? I'll make it pink.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a miserable existence.
Anyway. And then I completely agree with what you were saying in terms of seeing progress, because I know, I don't know, it just feels great to see progress. So there's a few things that I've been saying I was going to do, and I've seen progress on a few things, but I want to continue to see progress. So I got to just keep working, keep twerking. I mean, what?
Hey. Yeah. Well, and another thing is that book I was writing, I definitely want to make some progress on
that. The comic book?
I mean, yeah.
Someone, I mentioned that to someone, they keep asking me about it, so, Charles. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, did I tell you that? Well, I stopped drawing for a while and I just went back and started writing the story instead. So, I don't know. I'm still finishing the story, then I'll be back around to drawing, so.
Yeah, so watch out for that in 2018? Yeah, 20-something. I guess for our podcast, one of our resolutions is to get episodes out somewhat timely, in a somewhat timely fashion. But we are moving towards trying to go for a shorter format, because we had some episodes that were like an hour plus. And it takes longer to edit. It takes more time out of things I need to do, like Netflix. So,
yeah. And we don't want to ramble on for an hour just so we can get hit an hour. Want to be more concise, get to the point, and keep moving, have good content, all that kind of stuff. There's no point in wasting people's time just rambling on.
Yeah, with that in mind, thanks for tuning in.
We don't have to.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Icy Pixels Podcast. We hope you learned something. We hope you enjoyed it. Leave a comment or a like or something, please. Check us out on the social media. We don't post there often, but that's our New Year's resolution. We're going to post there more often. Maybe.
We lost two followers.
Oh, no. So I know someone who reacts very negatively to losing followers, and is like, really? That's not even a real person. But anyway, anything else to add?
Nope.
New year, new you, or whatever that saying is. If you're still saying that, I feel like you're kind of corny. So don't say that this year, and check us out next time. Hopefully in a week or so, we'll be back with another episode. Hopefully. No promises. We're not like promise people to nothing.
I already broke your new
Year's. I start out with lying. All right, we're out.
Bye.